Hallo, ja, ich bin Ramitas. I thought my experience might be a good reference for this topic because I observe that whenever I am rigid, because I think I also observe that sometimes I very adamant about how things should be done or I become unhappy of how things turned out. Then I notice the reason I am agitated or I am disappointed or unhappy with the situation is normally because I have an ideal, an expectation. I feel is a basic minimum
Standard.
standard that everyone should have understood and it didn't meet. So that is then I realized, hey, it's something like when you compare to people who are better off, then you always feel unhappy. When you compare, you say when you think about it could have been worse, then you naturally won't complain. So I notice when I am rigid, right, I am actually comparing to how things should be in my mind against the reality that happened, then I cannot accept that the reality is not as perfect as what I thought in my mind that should have happened. Is it so easy to happen? Why people cannot follow? Then I become very unhappy because of that. So I realized that one is actually attachment to my opinion, my bias, my expectation, my that what I say is the bare minimum requirement, basic decency of a human being. I go and create that conception. So when I think back, actually, this is something that we have accumulated, and actually, it can be changed. How we look at things can actually be easily changed. It's how we have created the habit program our mind to think that way. And if we make, if we really observe how we react, then we actually know before we get there, we actually know how to turn back and reprogram.
We will straighten our view to accept people the way they are. They accept the world.
Another point that I link to is sometimes now when I start to look at it, this helped me understand the dwelling and the mark, the six patriarch, because I noticed that before we form marks, we dwell on the topic. Then when we dwell on the topic, right, when we create a mark, that is when it, for example, in the office, right, when we dwell on work scenarios, then we start to create a mark what a boss should be, what a customer should be, what a lady should behave like, what a man should behave like. So we create all these basic decencies and then we create all these marks, then the thoughts start to come together. So when you start to have a lot of thoughts like, oh, that lady is not reasonable or that boss doesn't behave like a boss, these are all the thoughts that arise from the marks that we create because we started dwelling on the topic without observing like reality can be anything. Reality is open-ended. Anything can happen. Miraculous thing can happen. Horrible thing can happen. It's all part of reality, part of life. But we start to dwell, then we create category, we create all the marks, then we start to have a lot of our own thoughts, our own expectations. So that's why the six patriarch concept becomes very
Sounded
clear.
very good.
No thought, no mark, no dwelling. Then you just live life, sun kei ji, sun su zi, and kui sera sera, and whatever
Sounded.
happened will happen. Then becomes very easy to go through life. I hope this helps.
Thank you so much. Pauline, pay some attention. This is very useful. What my daughter mentioned is very useful. You see, the six patriarch teaching is so beautiful, is that there is mark. When you have mark of a self and others, this is precisely what my daughter, the example, fit in. When you think you exist, you become rigid, like what you say, ngang keng. You ngao chim phong. So that is rigidity. That's why I always say, wherever there is rigidity, there is no Dhamma. Dhamma is about accord and flow. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. So when you have that understanding, you become different. You can listen and you can accept the reality. So the mark of a self means we generate this ego these views, this personality, like my daughter just now mentioned, the minimum standards and all those things, this come from the mark of a self who think that this should be the way to live life. This is the minimum lowest standard where all humanity should be able to use and apply. Then it becomes a situation or a problem. Then the mark of others, the boss should be like that. Huh? The colleague should be like that. They shouldn't do this, they shouldn't do that. Who say all these things? It's the thought, the egoic mind that created the mark. And all these are mark where you hold on to all this. You think they are real, you think they exist. So humanity, when it comes to relationship, is about noble eightfold path. You need to communicate, you need to live life. Existence is one thing, Dhamma is another thing. So when you have the Dhamma, you look beyond mark. Then you see them as they are. You accept their reality. But there is a law of karma. You know all this. If you create this type of negativity, it leads to karmic. That's why you have to apply Noble Eightfold Path to free from the mark. Noble Eightfold Path is the best meditation for you to free from the mark. Where that one is non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. Where it has right view. If you don't apply Noble Eightfold Path, the mark will keep on appearing. You will create all the mark. Then when there is mark, you will dwell. How you dwell? You give meaning. That thought come in, like my daughter say, after the mark created, the thought come in and dwell here, dwell there. Everything you hold on to, you dwell. So the mark of a self, you have to realize that and relinquish it, free your mind. This form of mind is not real, not what we think. I have explained many times. So reflect, contemplate. It's only a vehicle and a tool. So use it to live life. But then this form of mind is subject to karma. We need to do our duty. We need to have right understanding, following Noble Eightfold. All these are the important understanding that you need to live life. Otherwise, you become very confused. That's why living beings become heedless, is because they don't have this understanding. And it's not easy to apply on this. You need to have very stable understanding of the cultivation and the teaching. Otherwise, you can't. Hmm. So, Pauline, you pay attention. Huh? What my daughter shared with you is very useful. It also helps others. Now you can come in. Huh? Huh.
I think, Brother, that is why I always wanted a certain way that I expecting to progress in this manner, which the world doesn't operate or spin in that manner. So it's the wrong view.
Yeah, now you understand. That's why you have to see that you are holding on to your own views and opinions. That is the mark of a self. You are operating from the self. When you don't have a mark of a self, you operate as a Dhamma practitioner, a cultivator. So you apply Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought. Right? So Noble Eightfold Path is not rigid. Noble Eightfold Path never say you must be like that, you must be like that. Eh? Hold on to things. No, Noble Eightfold Path is right view to accept the reality. Everything has coming. He is the way he is. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. So they will have to face their own consequence. So that understanding is very important. So when you can accept them for what they are, or the world as the world, then you can be at peace first. Then you will not create the dwelling. Understand? The thought will not come out and dwell and complain this, complain that, and talk about this and talk about that. So this is what Dhamma is all about. When you understand, you don't dwell. When you don't dwell, you become more peaceful, more quiet. Then you look at the way it manifests. You observe like what I teach you. When you have seen clearly, your own form and mind, how you get yourself into trouble and tangle, and you have straightened your view and come on, then you can understand why that person is like that. Yes, they haven't come out. They are still caught in that phase. So you have to accept them for what they are. You don't go and comment about them. How can this guy talk like that? How can she behave like that? No more. We just smile and accept them for what they are. Then you'll find that it's of not much use because they are all in that category of heedlessness. Then you may just try to avoid the foolish or the heedless. Do you understand? You make the aspiration, but you don't know how to come out of it, then it becomes a problem. That's why we tend to mix around with kayanamitas, people who has the Dhamma. But it doesn't mean you cannot mix with people who don't have the Dhamma. There are some people who may not have the Dhamma, but they have basic decency about character and life. So these are people who are also useful because they are our training ground. Do you understand? Sometimes difficult people is our good training ground. We should thank them for providing us with the condition and opportunity to cultivate. So all this, you need to go into it. There's still a lot of work for you. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you, Sadhu, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
So what else you want to know?
I think I have to be very mindful in my office because that is a very good ground.
Your training ground. So now keep that word in your mind. Every time you can apply the Dhamma to a situation, that is your training ground. Otherwise, you will get yourself entangled like last time. So hopefully from now onward.
Rotio, I know that I'm very rigid in working, but just don't know how to turn.
It's very easy. When you already know that that is what you are, so change, straighten your view, be more patient, be more mindful and aware, be silent and observe more. Don't simply react and talk. Then, like you say, that one is all no use. That one is heedless people's reply. You are not actually helping them out. You are making them more confused. So if you really have the wisdom later on, the Dhamma, then you will know how to help them. You can tell them very simply, is it? If you react and get yourself involved, you become more and more unhappy. That is not the way to solve problems. If you want to really solve that problem amicably, then you start to use what you have developed through understanding the teaching, the Dhamma. You say, we have to accept them for what they are. Accepting them doesn't mean you agree with what they do. And then you act with understanding, with wisdom, trying to mitigate whatever arises, trying to resolve things amicably so that nobody get angry. Means speak appropriately, speak kindly, harmoniously, don't get angry, don't become reactive, don't become rigid. So all these are helpful, useful. Then sometimes you have to let them understand. That's why the world is not what we think. It's not a perfect world, like my daughter go through. Everyone is different. So we need to understand them in order to be at peace with them. Otherwise, there is no life. Every moment also you become miserable, afflicted. When people say something, you get angry. Then there is not life. Or when people say something, you worry. Everything also have problem. Then very difficult to be at peace. To be at peace is to have Dhamma, to have understanding, to accept the reality, to accept people for what they are, to accept the world as the world. Then manifests only when you have the ability to solve problem, resolve issue amicably, then you manifest. That is what Dhamma is all about. You can help, provided you have the understanding. Otherwise, try not to get yourself entangled or involved. When you are ready, you will know. So sometimes you can maybe start somewhere, but you yourself have to develop deeper understanding of Dhamma. If you're still so rigid, you cannot help. Like now, my daughter can help people is because she believes she has certain understanding that she has gone through in life. She has developed the understanding and come out of it. That's why now she can apply that understanding to help people. So you can also do it if you really seriously cultivate and develop this understanding.